Welcome back to another episode of What the HR, an award-winning podcast. I'm Jesse Novi.
And I'm Mike Toole. The What the HR podcast explores how to build people-centric businesses through modern practices and approaches. New episodes are released frequently, so don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss any episodes.
To another episode of What the HR. Today, we're joined by Leah Jansen, who is the Director of Educational Technology at Continued. With degrees from the University of Minnesota and Nova Southeastern, Dr. Jansen brings brains, heart, and over 20 years of experience to the table. Her passion is leveraging technologies, including artificial intelligence, also known as AI, to deliver top-notch continued education for adult learners nationwide. She's a self-proclaimed lifelong learner, and she holds the CPACC credential and keeps digital accessibility at the forefront. She served on the IACET Board of Directors and as an adjunct faculty member at Concordia University because she believes in the combined power of learning and technology to change lives for the better. At Continued and beyond, Dr. Jansen is an educational ambassador who brings knowledge, compassion, and vision to every project. Her friendly Midwestern warmth makes everyone feel genuinely welcome, and I could not agree more. Really enjoyed having Dr. Jansen on the episode today. We have sprinkled in topics of AI into some of the podcast episodes that we've had over the course of the last year or so, but we have not dove into AI at the depth that we did with Dr. Jansen on this episode. We talk about really what is generative AI. How can we get over the fear of AI? How can you create company ambassadors and a lot more. So this is a topic that has come up at many of our SHRM events, and I've also just seen it on message boards and LinkedIn chats. I know that AI is just a super hot topic right now. So I hope that you all enjoy this episode as much as we did. A huge thanks to Dr. Jansen for being a guest on the What the HR podcast. And as always, if you're loving our podcast episodes and guests, please do us a huge favor. Head on over to your favorite podcast platform. Leave us both a rating and a review because the combination of both of those things really helps to ensure that the What the HR podcast is receiving the greatest reach and helps to ensure that our great guests and our great guest topics are getting out to other HR professionals and business leaders. So thanks as always for being a listener and enjoy the episode.
All right, Leah, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, you guys. I'm happy to be here today and excited to share what I've learned about AI.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into AI, tell our listeners a little bit about you, your background, how you fell into AI, and anything else that you want to share.
Sure. I'm a teacher and a learner at heart, and my day job is that I am the director of continuing education technology or educational technology for Continued. We provide continuing education all online to professionals who are required to show proof of CE for licensure. So we serve about 8 or 9 different markets, primarily in the healthcare field. And I'm responsible for the technology that we utilize to produce our content and get it into the hands of our members. I've always had a passion for both learning and technology. So I fell into AI as part of our company, and we're going to talk about why companies need an AI ambassador. And that's exactly the role that I fell into within our organization, is being that ambassador for AI, because there's always something to learn. And as we're going to talk about, this is something that changes on a daily basis. So my background is in education. I have a doctorate degree in education. And a long time ago, I was also a healthcare provider. I have a master's degree in audiology. So I really married those two fields of healthcare and education to serve my colleagues more than anything. So, the first thing I'll say is there's a disclaimer here, and that is anything we talk about relative to AI is subject to change. I think if you read every day and you follow anyone AI, there's something new to learn every day. Something has changed. So my first disclaimer is that generative AI is rapidly evolving. The topic, the tools, and everything that we talk about today is subject to change.
Awesome. So let's start with generative AI. Just explain it for your listeners. I know everybody hears AI and it's a bit ambiguous to some. So can you just kind of narrow the field and explain generative AI?
Sure. Happy to. So AI is a big topic. And it's a topic that's been around for a long time. AI in and of itself is not new. Artificial intelligence is utilizing computer systems to perform tasks that typically require human intelligence. So if you think things like visual perception, pattern recognition, speech recognition, language translation, those are all things that utilize AI. Think Siri, Alexa, the recommendations you get on Netflix, the recommendations you get on Amazon. Those are all driven by some sort of pattern recognition or AI to predict our human behavior. So AI is not new. Generative AI is what is newer. The key to AI is data, massive, massive data sets that drive this action. So if you think the more data there is, the more improvement you see in the performance. So think about Siri, think about Netflix. The more that those tools know about you, the better they are at making those recommendations. Generative AI creates new things. It creates new realistic outputs based on learned patterns of data. So it leverages things like, I know we hear the terms LLM or large language model to create and convey ideas using prediction. So whether you're creating text or images or audio or video, it's going back to looking at patterns and making predictions based on those data sets. The question that I always hear from people is, well, why now? Why is it such a big deal now if AI has been around for quite some time? And what the differences are today compared to previously is that these massive data sets are available. Like it or not, I mean, think about all the data that's collected about you, whether it's via social media, it's collecting your behaviors. If you think about just the behaviors that are collected if you wear an Apple Watch, that are collected from you every single day and every click that you make, the data that's collected. There are huge data sets, along with innovations in chip technology and the launch of these free, extremely accessible generative AI chatbots like ChatGPT and Claude that have seen explosive growth.
Mm-hmm. So I think I want to talk about having an AI ambassador, but I want to... Mm-hmm. Before we do that, I think there's a concern or a fear around AI and how that impacts the workforce or jobs or any other fear that comes along with it. So I want to start with, like, how does somebody get over the fear of using AI? How do they dive in and start messing with it?
It's a great question. And first, I think we just have to acknowledge the fact that there is a lot of anxiety with this technology. And there's a couple of really great people that I follow in this sphere of influence. And one of them is Andering. I highly recommend listening to a TED Talk that he put out in October of 2023, where he talks about AI not being the problem. Instead, it's the solution. And he talks a lot about the things that you just mentioned, the fear of people becoming irrelevant and AI taking over jobs. And what he really hits home on, and I think is really important for us to remember, is that AI automates tasks, not jobs. Jobs are comprised of many complex tasks, decisions that we have to make every single day that makes our work what it is. So AI can help us automate tasks, but not jobs. So think about the fact that the nature of our work may change, but it's not going to put humans out of business. And he gives a really great example using radiology. I think we've probably all seen a lot of the headlines about how AI is being used in healthcare to look at, you know, if you're a radiologist, to look at x-rays, to look at those types of technologies in order to diagnose things. And his example is that AI in and of itself won't replace a radiologist because you still need a radiologist to deliver the information and help develop a care plan. But His point is that radiologists who use AI will replace radiologists who don't use AI. So think about it as a knowledge tool for you to use to automate some of those tasks to make you more efficient, more productive in the workplace, as opposed to AI coming in and taking over your job. And if we think back, if you think about it, most waves of technology have created a lot of fear. Think about the day that Bill Gates introduced the desktop computer and the internet. It created a lot more fear, and it created this idea that it was going to eliminate jobs for people. And the reality is that technologies have created far more jobs than they've destroyed. And those waves of technology also create economic growth. So is it okay to be anxious about something new? Absolutely. But AI likely is not going to replace us as humans, nor is it going to, you'll hear the extreme view of, will it kill us all? Well, probably not, because we invest tons of money in intelligence, in education, time and dollars in our education. And we want to use that intelligence to apply skills and knowledge to make good decisions. So my personal view, as I agree with Andrew Ng, is that AI democratizes access to intelligence, and AI intelligence is cheap. So we have leveled the playing field in order for people to become more proficient, more productive, more efficient within the workplace.
Some of the things that you shared, Leah, just sound like really good clickbait, like people throwing around ideas or sharing things and then a headline grabbing it. But I think all the everything that you shared aligns with my understanding too of like what I've read and what I understand and what my experiences honestly have been too with AI is like it helps diminish oftentimes a lot of those tasks that a lot of us don't want to do, or it helps make them easier, maybe not taking them over entirely, but like helping just take off maybe some of the burden of some of those tasks. And maybe we'll see over time that it's not replacing roles, but it's requiring less people in a particular role because we're creating more efficiencies by using it.
Yeah, indeed. All good thoughts. And we'll see where it takes us. But I think, again, just coming at it with a level head, thinking about where we've been in the past with new technologies and thinking, okay, again, is the workplace going to change? Yes, but the workplace is always changing. So embrace the change. One of my favorite people that I follow in this sphere, besides Andrew Ng, is Ethan Mollick from the Wharton Business School. And I have this on a slide deck that I use within our own organization that says using AI will teach you how to use AI. In other words, you have to get in there. You have to try it. Create a ChatGPT account and just start playing with it in order to diminish that fear and that anxiety of the new technology. They're very easy to use, very intuitive to get in there and just start asking questions.
Yeah, I like that. And for anyone that's listening that hasn't played around with it, I'll just share a quick funny AI story that showed up in my workplace this week. So I work for a company that's very safety focused. And so we start our meetings. If we've got four or more people in a meeting, we start them with a safety minute where we share something that would benefit the group that's participating in the meeting. And one of my team members was doing a safety minute and he had done an AI generated image because we usually like to do like a PowerPoint slide for it. And I have played around with AI images and it is hilarious, like what it thinks you want. And the image was of this guy trimming a tree because my employee was giving examples of like how to trim a tree safely. And in the image was like this guy that we couldn't tell if he had like fallen off the roof of the house or if he was flying around the house. And then there was like these tree trimmers and below the tree trimmer were slices of watermelon. And then what looked like a really large roll of toilet paper. So instead of like learning anything from the safety minute, we spent the minute and more just laughing about just how humorous it was on how this AI model interpreted what my employee wrote that it of the image that it wanted to create. So I encourage everyone just in spare time to go out and play with it because it's really fun.
It is. And if go ahead, Dave, Michael.
I was going to say that I actually tried using it to write my best man speech. I bring that up because how I look at AI when people are afraid of it is you don't have to use what it gives you. Like you gotta remember, like pushing the button doesn't mean you automatically have to use it, but it can give you a head start on certain things. I just scrapped it. I didn't feel right about it. I felt like that was something I should write myself. But with that in mind, like, can you talk a little bit with like what tasks, and since we are an HR podcast, like maybe specific to HR, but what mm-hmm. tasks can we use AI to take over that would help us in our day-to-day lives?
Yeah. The first thing I would say is you're spot on. Think tasks, not jobs. And as you said, Jesse, think about those things that you repeat over and over and over again. Generative AI can be a thought partner. It can brainstorm, create, develop, write, translate, proofread, summarize. Think about things that you might hand to an intern or a fresh college grad to complete a task. So things like job posting, to draft a job posting, to do a review of resumes and cover letters, a first review, drafting corporate or employee communication. Especially if you think about that translation piece, if you are a global organization and you have to create content in multiple languages, oh my gosh, use it to translate communication, draft letters of recommendation. If you have performance reviews, to draft performance reviews. And again, I'm using that word draft intentionally, because like you said, Michael, it doesn't mean that you have to use what it gives you or that it's the final product. It can be a start. It can get you past that writer's block that many of us have, that where do I start? So it can get you going in terms of drafting information. If you need images for content, learning content is another place that you can use it. There's a there are specific chatbots called GPTs, and there's one that I've used that will help you create a curriculum or a course. And it'll draft out your learning objectives, your exam questions. It's pretty slick. And again, it doesn't mean I have to use it all, but it certainly gives me a starting point and gets me 10 steps ahead of where I would have been much quicker. It's also awesome for editing copy. If you need it to have a particular tone, you can give it an example and say, please rewrite based on this example that you have included with it. Meetings. We all get stuck in meetings. And the person who is your note taker, well, let AI be your meeting note taker and provide summaries to everyone. If you do surveys and you need to analyze data, especially qualitative data, it can give you some really great insights to qualitative data, especially if one of my favorite things to use as a prompt is, you know, what did I miss in here? Are there any particular insights that you see in this data that I missed? And you'll get some ideas back after it's looked at the data and predicting some of those patterns. So, you know, it's your own imagination is really the only limitation when it comes to this in terms of how you might utilize these ChatGPTs, chatbots, in order to, again, help you with your current set of tasks. So to folks, I recommend, you know, look at your current set of tools and what's integrated into them already in terms of AI. You know, if you're a marketing person, Adobe Creative Suite has already been working a lot of AI tools into their products that people use every day. Microsoft 365, Zoom, Google, all of them are integrating AI tools into their products. So take a look at what's already in your toolbox and see what these folks are already putting into their workflows that could help you. And just think about, you know, how do these tools improve task efficiency, productivity, and quality? There's already great data out there in the literature that chatbots can enhance productivity, efficiency, and quality of knowledge workers. So we have the data to show that this is working. You just have to jump in and be able to use it. But I'll always say, remember, the old adage applies, garbage in, garbage out. So take the time to think about what you're asking for and converse with that chatbot. Treat it like the new college grad in terms of what you're asking for. Be specific with what you want. Turn it into a character. You know, say, I'm an HR professional looking for X. And so that you give the chatbot an idea of who the audience is for the output. Be sure to specify the task, provide examples, and adjust as you go along the way. If you don't get what you want the first time, adjust the conversation. You know, think it took me a little while to realize that I could talk to this kind of like a human and say, well, no, that's not really what I wanted. Think about this piece. Or, you know, to your point, sometimes it's wrong. It is wrong. These things hallucinate. Call it out and say, that's not right. Try again. Look again. So think about an 80% rule as you're utilizing AI to do these tasks. It's going to do probably 70 to 80% of the work for you, but then it's up to you to apply critical thinking and your own expertise to get it from 80% to 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that learning how to communicate with AI is almost like the first hurdle to getting like good outcomes from it. I would imagine that when we talk about like the fears around it, especially when we're talking HR, is, you know, maybe compliance or certain things are pumped out of AI that land on your website or land on a requisition that could potentially get you in trouble. So obviously you want to double check the work, but what else, like what other considerations around security do we need to think about when it comes to using AI?
Yeah. And first I'll say security considerations are genuine and really should be addressed by every organization. We can talk a little about an AI ambassador and how that fits into the mix, but security is real because risks include, but are not limited to things like misinformation and disinformation, privacy, copyright, bias. I mean, if you think about the bias that exists in our culture and on the internet, and that's where a lot of the data is coming from, you're going to see a lot of that same bias in the results. So is that getting better? Yes. There are some elements to that where AI systems are being reinforced by humans in order to train the data sets to not be biased. But these are all things that we have to be aware of because these systems use and store data, including personal data. So if you put personal identifying information into ChatGPT, it stays there. And if you dig deep and you look at the privacy disclosures from these chatbots, for instance, Claude's privacy disclosure does state that if you include personal data in your prompts, that they will collect that information and it may be reproduced in the outputs. So it's an awareness factor as well, and being careful about what you do and don't put into these tools. And again, like we said, you know, think about bias, think about data bias, decision bias, all those different biases that exist on the internet. In addition to thinking about those things, I think it's really important for organizations to come up with an AI policy. And within that policy, some strategies for safe generative AI use. And the first one we've already touched on a bit is to verify and fact check. AI makes predictions and humans are the ones that make decisions. So we as humans need to take responsibility for the information that we put out there if we utilize AI to generate it. So verify and fact check. Use any PII with caution. In fact, I probably would recommend not using any when you put information into these tools so that it doesn't show up somewhere else. And use that idea of an AI ambassador to drive establishing a policy for safe AI use in the workplace. It's up to that ambassador to start having these discussions and to model these behaviors in order to educate others and make sure that people have an awareness of the security considerations when it comes to utilizing these tools.
Yeah, I think that's maybe a great segue into the AI ambassador conversation. So could you share a little bit about, you know, why you feel like an ambassador is important? And could an ambassador also be the individual that kind of helps to educate and reinforce some of the things that you just shared, Leah?
Yeah. As someone who's become an AI ambassador within a company, first I'll say it's a lot of fun. If you're a lifelong learner at heart, this is an awesome place to be. And if you're a teacher at heart, because that means you're sharing knowledge with others. And when you have AI ambassadors within an organization, it's a starting point for building an AI-friendly culture. And when you start to build that safe culture, you reduce anxiety amongst people with action and demonstration. But more importantly, it gives you the opportunity to demonstrate how AI, specifically generative AI, can align with the specific values and goals and objectives as a business of a business, because that's really important. Is how do we make ourselves better? How do we use these tools and align to get to where we want to be a year from now, 5 years from now? When you have AI ambassadors that are knowledge sharers, you foster a collaborative environment. And hopefully you're doing that in a way that is promoting psychological safety with regards to AI use and the culture. And I also have learned that AI in and of itself is not the strategy. And I think that that's a really important message for an ambassador to convey. These tools are exactly that. They're tools, they're knowledge tools that can help you foster knowledge sharing and curiosity among employees. It's okay to be curious about this and ask questions. Also, it's really okay as an AI ambassador, if this is new to a company, to start small. You don't have to take on a massive project right out of the gate. Instead, do the opposite. Start small. Think about what your goals and objectives are as an organization, and back to those tasks. What can we do to automate some of those tasks to achieve those goals and objectives? So start small, experiment. And in terms of knowledge sharing, you know, one of the things that has been really effective for us within our organization is just having an AI SIG channel in Slack, where people who come across articles will just post them in this channel to share with folks. They can run the gamut in terms of topics, but they're just all related to AI. And again, it allows everyone the opportunity to contribute and to become part of that culture that is AI friendly. You can also promote very inexpensive learning. So think micro-learning. There are a couple of really great daily curated emails that are a daily 5 to 7 minute read for folks. One of them is called The Neuron. It's fabulous. There are classes out there, whether you're taking a course on Coursera that's free. There's a daily email micro learning content called AI with Allie. That's a 5 to 7 minute email class every 7 days. So there are some very inexpensive ways to promote learning in this topic area. And also just promote, again, take those tasks and promote those small AI projects as examples as the AI ambassador.
Those are really good ideas. Thank you for sharing those. I know we've sprinkled or peppered throughout the interview today on just, you know, some things that those listening, you know, ways that they can put AI into action. But is there anything that you feel like we've missed, Leah, or that you wanted to emphasize?
I think the big thing, my biggest takeaway with this is that to reduce fear and anxiety and to figure out how this fits into your business model, how it aligns, is that you have to get in there and use it. To learn how to use AI, you have to use AI. And the literature that's out there is already showing us is that it doesn't really matter how you choose to get in there. What's most important is that you choose to get in there. You know, we've heard terms and jobs like prompt engineers. Well, do you have to be a prompt engineer to learn how to use this? No, you don't. The results are pretty equal when you look at people who are using a prompting model versus those who just get in there and start asking questions. Both are effective ways, which I think, again, demonstrates the power of just getting in there and utilizing these tools and using your own human creativity and critical thinking to figure out how they might help you with those day-to-day tasks and fit into your business strategy.
Have you come across any content, like a list of what you can use AI for, in whether it's your personal life or your career? Like, sometimes I have a hard time thinking, like, what could I use it for other than, like, maybe, you know, like writing stuff. But like, have you seen anything? Is there anywhere we can point our audience to that says, hey, here's 100 things that you maybe didn't know you could use AI for?
We should make that list, is what we should do.
Can we use AI to build it?
Exactly. I was going to say, we could ask Claude, what are 100 things that I could do in my personal life that you can help me with? And I'm sure it would generate a list for us. But in all seriousness, there are some kind of cool things. If you have to plan a trip, plan a vacation. I used it recently. My husband and I are going to Ireland in March. And I asked it to create a itinerary for me for 7 days in Ireland. Here's where we're flying in. Here's where we're flying out of. It gave me a really great list of things to do. So plan a vacation. Also, a more professional use. I had not really updated my resume in probably longer than I care to admit. And I plugged it in and just said, give me some tips to improve this resume. And I was surprised. They were very effective recommendations that made a lot of sense, that I took it and I made the changes. So, you know, again, I think I said earlier, your own imagination is the only limitation on how to use this. I had a piece of writing that I needed to change from passive voice. I had to get rid of all the passive voice and change it to active voice because that's what fit with brand. And I plugged it into ChatGPT. It was a couple pages and just said, please revise this so everything is written in active voice. And it was done.
Okay, so see, I never used it like that. I've never like put something into it. I've always asked for something. So that's really interesting. You're putting things into it and then asking it to revise it in a certain way, and then it'll spit something out for you.
Yep. Absolutely. Another great use is summarizing long documents. If you really don't want to read that published journal article that's 25 pages long or paper, you can attach documents. You can attach files to it and just say, you know, plug it in and say, please summarize this document by giving me the 10 most critical bullet points.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people, if they had any New Year's resolutions, have likely fallen off the wagon by now because it's February 1st. But if you haven't fallen off the wagon, or you're looking to get in shape for maybe an upcoming spring break trip, AI will generate meal plans for you. It's pretty incredible. You can put in like your macros, you know, like I want to eat, you know, 130 grams of protein a day, 35 grams of fiber. I'm dairy free. I'm gluten free. I'm vegan. You can put in all those specifics and say, make me a meal plan for the week. And it'll generate a full meal plan for you based on those data points.
And then you can say, in alignment with that, create a workout plan for me, knowing I have 1 hour a day, Monday through Friday, and I am new, experienced, whatever it may be, and it'll also spit out a workout plan for you.
I'll jump on that when I can tell it to do the workout for me. that's when AI will take over. Well, hey, Leah, this has been amazing. I know, super interesting to me, and a lot of great tips for our audience. Before we go, can you tell everybody how they can get in touch with you, whether it's social media or, you know, if it's email? Like, I'm sure there's people that maybe want to dig in deeper or bounce ideas off of you, if you're okay with that.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Please share.
You can find me on LinkedIn, Leah Jansen. Also social media. You can find me on Instagram. I'm Dr. Leah Joe. And yeah, those are probably two of the best ways to get a hold of me.
And then really quick, actually, before we go, I should have asked this before, but you, so I know ChatGPT. You have mentioned, did you say Claude? Like, what are the AI engines that you've come across?
Those are, ChatGPT and Claude are the two that have sustained, if you will, over the last months. But this is where that initial disclaimer comes into play for anyone who's listening to this and any time has passed, where these change, these things change rapidly. You can read, if you, I highly recommend subscribing to the Neuron, which is a daily newsletter. And every week there's information in there about a new engine or their effectiveness, their hallucination rates, which, and then they get ranked and the rankings change. There are new players every week, but the two that have really maintained over the last few months are ChatGPT and Claude. But follow those folks on the Neuron and you'll be able to answer that question on a weekly basis.
Awesome. Well, Leah, thanks so much again. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of What the HR. If you want to hear more episodes like this, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever platform you're listening through now. If you enjoyed the podcast, do us a favor and share with your network, your boss, or your CEO. Help us get this podcast in front of anyone who wants to know what HR looks like when done well. Also, if you have any questions for show topics or people you'd like us to interview, please email Mike and I at podcast@tcshrm.org. That's podcast@tcshrm.org. If you want to find out more about Twin Cities SHRM or our upcoming events, please visit our website at tcshrm.org. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And finally, if you're not already a member of Twin Cities SHRM, please use code WHATTHEHR at checkout to receive $20 off your membership. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next episode.